From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, June 17th. Coming up, we'll head to Princeton, Illinois for a closer look at an art exhibition inspired by Norman Rockwell. That story from Yvonne Booz is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois Department of Public Health is confident there will be plenty of COVID vaccines available for children under 5 once the CDC recommends them. Alex Degman reports.
There probably won't be supply issues like we saw with the first vaccine rollout for adults. Dr. R.T. Barnes, IDPH's chief medical officer, says doctors' offices have pre-ordered tens of thousands of doses.
We're hoping that the pre-ordering is a marker of what pediatrician feels that will be the demand in their practice.
The state is also helping pediatricians prepare. It's sending planning toolkits for doctors' offices. And the Illinois Academy of Family Physicians launched a bi-monthly podcast where clinicians talk about, among other things, increasing vaccination rates and the challenges in doing so. I'm Alex Degman.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed a pair of measures to help sexual assault victims. One enhances protections for people under the influence of drugs or alcohol. The law now makes clear that any intoxicated person cannot consent. Survivor Kaylin Ahn helped spearhead the change. A man she was seeing raped her, but she says because she was willingly intoxicated, a police sergeant told her the law could not help.
When I asked him if there were any other legal options to pursue, he said, "The only thing you can do now is just try to not let it happen again and move on. This is my defiant refusal to do so."
The other measure doubles the time rape survivors can seek specialized care outlined in an existing state law from 90 days to 180 days. Police departments across the U.S. are facing staffing shortages. As Illinois Newsroom's Harrison Malkin reports, Champaign is using financial incentives to hire new officers.
The Champaign Police Department is trying to fill 20 officer openings. Within the last few months, it filled several vacancies after offering a $20,000 signing bonus.
Recruiting is getting harder. A lot of places are getting more competitive. And so everyone is having to adapt. What we're seeing is in a number of public sector jobs, we're having to do kind of private sector recruiting.
That was Joe Amberson, the Champaign Police Department's public information officer. 2 weeks ago, the Champaign Police Department started working with a security firm called AGB. AGB employs unarmed guards to monitor downtown Champaign at particular times. Lamberson hopes it will help alleviate staffing issues. He says the contract with AGB is worth just over $200,000. I'm Harrison Malkin, Illinois Newsroom.
Former President Donald Trump announced that he will stump for Congresswoman Mary Miller in the Quincy area next weekend. Trump endorsed Miller in January and has campaigned for many congressional candidates around the country with mixed results. Miller's opponent in the 15th District, Congressman Rodney Davis, said in a statement, quote, "I'm proud of my conservative record of working with Trump when he was in office, and I won't shy away from it," end quote. The Trump-Miller rally will take place next Saturday, June 25th at 7 p.m. at the Adams County Fairgrounds in Mendon. The primary is June 28th. Early voting is already underway. Still to come, we'll see how one Illinois artist has put Norman Rockwell's work through a modern lens. That story from Yvonne Booz is coming up next on 217 Today.
In March of 1928, about 40 miles north of Los Angeles, one of the biggest dams in the country blew apart, releasing a wall of water 20 stories high. The fascinating new American Experience documentary, Flood in the Desert, tells the story of the St. Francis Dam disaster, which destroyed hundreds of lives and washed away the reputation of William Mulholland, the father of modern Los Angeles. Stream this and other revealing historical documentaries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. For the past few weeks, discussions that centered around an exhibit by artist Norman Rockwell have taken place in Princeton, Illinois. The final one took place June 12th at the Freedom House. Yvonne Booz has more.
Some participants enjoyed a thick slice of apple pie as they waited to learn more about the 18 photographs that were a part of the Revisiting Rockwell exhibit at the Freedom House. Maggie Miners is an interdisciplinary artist. She created images that put a new spin on works created by the Four Freedoms and Beyond artists. Rockwell's paintings captured his vision for the freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. Miner says she started to research Rockwell and decided to appropriate his work. She says creating these pieces removed her from her comfort zone, but she wanted to foster conversations around this work.
A lot of moving parts, not a way I had worked in the past. And so, but there was something in my heart that just made me need to make it.
Rick Brooks is the director of Midwest Partners in Princeton. This nonprofit organization funded the Four Freedoms and Beyond project that features miners' works. He explains the need for the series.
I think all of us here would agree that it's been challenging lately for more than one reason for us to not only talk to each other, but to listen to each other. So that's what this session and this entire project has been about.
Each group sat at their own table and was asked to focus on the freedom from fear. Rockwell's original painting shows a white mother and father standing over their sleeping children. Miner's interpretation shows something slightly different, a black woman standing over her two children while holding a Chicago Tribune newspaper. The headline mentioned another killing of a black person. Miner tells why she wanted to depict this image.
It was a response, mother to mother, as a white woman in suburban Chicago, in response to all the shootings that were going on that particular summer of 2016.
Miner says that the photo was controversial. She said some black women mentioned that she fed into a stereotype. There was no father in the picture.
And I recognized that after the fact, the harm in that, and that was never my intention, but it was also a really good learning lesson for me as an artist, because I think we can be very self-centered.
Pat James is a Princeton resident. She says this exhibit shows how the world has transformed.
Looking at the pictures of Rockwell in the past and how they reflected life then, and how these new images reflect the changes in our society.
David Gray also took part in the exhibit's discussions. He says the in-person format is valuable and he appreciates the exhibit.
This kind of work is important because Rockwell, to a lot of people, symbolizes America. His work symbolizes an America that once existed, whether that really existed or not. For a lot of people, that's sort of the symbol of that past America.
Illinois residents who missed the exhibit will have another chance later this year. The Downers Grove Public Library will display Miner's work in September. I'm Yvonne Booz.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies today with a high of 88 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Harrison Malkin, and Yvonne Booz. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldeen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.